moment of surrender, right? It's about surrender right now to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our hearts. Whatever you're in the middle of, whatever you're facing, it's about surrender. Mm-hmm. Surrendering it all to Him. Praise the Lord. I feel like some of us are going through some difficulties and we're saying, how in the world am I going to get through this? I can't seem to make it happen. You know, I can't seem to get to the other side of this. God has good news. He's here to help us. We've been reading through the book of Hebrews as a church. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. And then this is the part that stands out to me right now. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And you say, what in the world are you talking about? You know, when we built this church, we had 2x4s, we had paint, we had sheetrock, we had carpet. Those are visible things. We needed those things to build this church, right? But in our lives, sometimes we, how do we get to where the visible thing can be created? It's the faith piece. The faith, it says, is the substance, right? So that's our bricks, right? To get to the answer to the problems that we have. I know this feels tangled up, but it's about faith in God. In our marriages, it's the God piece that will fix it. In your job situation, in your heart with addictions, it's Jesus. It's the faith in Him and His promises. That's the substance that we need. The evidence of things not seen. So God created worlds. He created ages with the word of His mouth. That's how we build, right? By getting in line with what the promises say. So that's some homework for all of us. But I feel like we need to open the altars right now. So we need to come to a place of surrender and say, God, I need you in my situation. That's what this is all about. So if you're like, I need God to touch my situation, Pastor and I will get in agreement with you. But we also need the faith of God, the place of surrender where we surrender to Him, that situation, say, I need you. He's such a gentleman. He would just stand back. But when we say, I need your help, please help me. Most powerful prayer ever. Help me, God.
Yes.
So I just encourage you, let's stand up. Those of you that need prayer today, let's come to the altar and let's come to a place of surrender in that area that we need His assistance. It might be physical healing, might be financial, might be in relationships, whatever it is. If you have a need today, just let's make a move now. We're going to pray with you.
Hallelujah. You know, our country is 250 years old this year. That's a very special thing. Amen. Very special. Hallelujah. We'll let the flag wave behind us here while we celebrate. I like that cowboy. America's celebrating 250 years. And our president, Donald J., you know what the J stands for in his name? John. I just found that out today. And that's amazing. You know, John is short for Johanan, Jonathan, Johanan, which means the grace of God. Did you know that? No wonder he's doing such mighty acts as a president. The grace of God's all over him. Amen? And the grace of God is upon America. Praise the Lord. There's nothing we can't do as a country, nothing we can't achieve in God if we'll walk in His grace. Amen? So today, this year, we celebrate, at 4th of July, we'll be celebrating 250 years. President Donald J., John Trump, has called Americans together today to rededicate our country to God. Isn't that amazing? There's a solemn prayer ceremony being held at Washington Mall today. That's not a shopping center. That's an area, an outdoor area, in case you didn't know it. From 10:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And the guest speakers will include Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State Marco Rubio. What a great man of God. And House Speaker Michael Johnson. And this corresponds to a day in history back in March 1776, when the Second Continental Congress declared a day of national prayer and repentance for May 17th back in that year, prior to the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I think that's very significant, that a day of repentance and prayer and fasting and seeking God was declared even before they wrote up the Declaration of Independence. Amen? The original decree called for a day of humiliation, prayer, and fasting for these three main purposes. Number one, to confess and bewail our many sins as a people. Wow, we weren't even officially birthed as a nation yet, and already they were recognizing we got sin that we got to deal with. Isn't that amazing? Number two, to publicly acknowledge God as the provider, God's providence. That's the word they used back then, providence. Relying solely on Jesus' mediation for forgiveness. And thirdly, to ask the Lord of hosts, I like that they chose that name, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's angel armies, to grant victory over the enemies of freedom at that time. Those were the three things that they were declaring for that day of public prayer. In May 17th of 1776, and that's today. The American soldier of that day was outgunned, outtrained, and outnumbered. Where's my soldier? You got a soldier? Unfreeze him in Jesus' name. He was outnumbered by the British, and yet God intervened to bring about a great salvation and the establishing of a country for his global purposes. Amen. It's for a global purpose that America was established, not for her own self, but to have a vision for the world. It was just like the Great Commission. The Great Commission lifted the eyes of the 12 apostles beyond their home there in Jerusalem and lifted their eyes to the ends of the earth. And so the founding of our country here in America was not just for our prosperity, just for our blessing. No, it was to lift our eyes to the ends of the earth. General George Washington was unashamed in his dependence upon God for ultimate victory. America's troubles and enemies have multiplied greatly since that time, and it's upon us today to follow the example of our forefathers in crying out to the God who alone can save and restore us once more. Amen. In Ephesians 1:3, he's described as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not just God. You can't just say, let's all turn to God, because some people don't know which God that is. You have to define him. He's the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So while we're here today, and I sent out a blurb, I hope you got it on your church app today, about today's event, because you'll be in church when they start, but it'll run till 6 p.m., so go home and watch it or DVR it, and be blessed. That's going to be airing on TBN, the Christian Trinity Broadcasting Network. But right now in his presence, I want us to take a moment to acknowledge God, to acknowledge this day. Amen. It's a very sacred day, and We've talked to you for several weeks now about the power of church. What happens when the church comes together? Well, right now we're making decrees. Right now we're having corporate prayer. Amen? Together. We're joining our faith together. There's 50 or so of us here in the room right now. We're going to join our faith together for God's things, for God's callings, for God's purposes. Amen? Would you just kneel, if you're able to, kneel right there where you're at, or sit in your chair, however you're comfortable. But I want us to acknowledge kneeling is a form of saying, I give my strength. See, a man's strength are in his legs. When you bend the knee, when you bend the knee, you're saying, I acknowledge my strength is not sufficient. I need God's strength. Amen. If you can revive those pictures, bring them up whenever you got them. Praise the Lord. Let's kneel and pray. Father, we commit our country to you today. This sacred day, which our president has decreed for our nation, a revival of that day so long ago, 200 years ago, 250 years ago, Lord, when the nation got on their knees and said, we can't do it without you, God. We must have the grace and provision of God. We cannot defeat Britain on our own strength. We cannot move ahead as a nation with the sin that's upon us. Now today, Father, we bend the knee before you. And this is ever true, even more so than in that day. Our enemies are multiplied. Our sins are multiplied to the heavens. And for these we turn. And we declare righteousness will exalt this nation once again. Righteousness will exalt the United States of America and make her great once more. She is not great apart from your righteousness, Jesus. We need that and that alone. We depend on it. Holy Spirit, send us the breath of heaven. Send us the grace of God to lift us in the righteousness of Jesus, to restore this land once more. Send us the spirit of Elijah, the spirit that turns the hearts of the children back to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. A heart of purity, a heart without idolatry. Jesus, for this we pray. And we commit this day to you, Lord. Restore us to our original purpose in you. For the glory of your Son Jesus and the promotion of the gospel around the earth, in his name. Hallelujah. Amen. If you agree, say amen. There's my American soldier. Go back, show him the American soldier. Covered in snow, not sure what tomorrow holds, following a general who, like us just now, kneeled before God in prayer. It was unashamed to depend upon the Lord. Amen. Let freedom ring in this country once again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. You can applaud the Lord. Jesus. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a historic day. And you were here to be a part of it. You were here. Your voice was here in this room today to do what we just did. Call upon God. How chosen are you on this 250th anniversary? You say, me? Yeah, you. You. Your prayer matters. Your holiness matters. Your example in your home matters and in your community. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome our first-time guest today. If you're a first-time visitor with us, you should have received a visitor's card on the way in. We just ask you to drop that in the bucket in a moment when the offering buckets come by. I don't see any new visitors, but I may have missed one. You, lady. Right now. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Suzette. I'm just teasing. I was ribbing her before service. I just like to rib Suzette. Praise the Lord. Let me give you an update real quick. We've been receiving a special offering the last couple weeks for equipment here in the church. We need several things. Our offices need a computer and printer. We're adding some additional miscellaneous items to our sound system, but more importantly, we're paying off the video system that we installed here before Nathan Morris came in March. And of that, we've just about paid off the video system with what's been received. We've received about $4,500. Praise the Lord. You guys have been amazing, amazing generosity. Yeah, applaud yourselves. Yeah, praise the Lord. God has done it. Amen. And so we're a little shy of our goal. I just want to let you know where we're at. We needed about 10-ish for all the items that we need to purchase, the computer, the printer, some other items for the offices and around the building, some miscellaneous audio equipment. We're gonna keep improving on our audio system. There's some additions we're going to make here. I don't have a price on that yet, but my guesstimates run things to about $10,000, $11,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. So we're about $5,000, $6,000 shy. So for today, and for next Sunday, we're going to leave the equipment drop-down box on the push bay. I'll leave that open to you if you want to pray about God directing you to give toward that. We'll certainly receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Because we've got some other goals we want to move on to. Now, Sunday after next will be May 31st. Can you believe it? Who devoured May? And so on that Sunday, May 31st, we're going to change that drop-down tab in Push Bay. We're going to change it from, it won't say church equipment any longer. It'll say missions outreach or global outreach. We'll pick a good sounding name. It's going to be outreach or missions. And we're going to beginning in June, moving forward into the summer. We've got some dreams in our hearts. We've got some things we're praying on for around the world, outside of Alvin, Texas. Amen. And so we're going to leave that drop-down box ongoingly through June, July, until the Lord tells us to do otherwise. We're going to leave a missions drop-down option. So as the Lord blesses you and you have overage and you think, what should I do with this extra $10,000 that I just received? You'll have an option there for missions outreach. Amen. And this will be an ongoing fund that we keep an ongoing amount in so that when we need to take a missions trip, when we need to go overseas, whatever it is, to begin planting other works, the Lord, the money will be there and we'll just move forward in it. Amen? So just pray about how the Lord wants you to be a part of that. So again, 2 more weeks in the equipment fund and then we'll move on to missions. Praise the Lord. Well, are you ready to give today? Has the Lord blessed you? Yeah, you're blessed, whether you know it or not. You're blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you need an offering envelope, ushers, just go ahead and pass those out, please, at this time for cash or checks. And then you can also give electronically like you see on the board here behind me. It's an unusual day in our house here. We have no announcements today. Can you believe it? Zero. That's an unusual time. But I'm sure some activities will be picking up here shortly. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you for what you've put in our hand. We truly are blessed, more than we know. If we only knew what we have in comparison to people around the world, we would be amazed to see that we reign as kings in Christ Jesus. We truly do reign in life. Thank you for it, Lord. It's only because of you, your righteousness, and your gift of grace that we have this abundance in our life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you give today. Well, we're continuing our series this week on Why Church. And we have a new graphic here for you for today. Why Church? Well, the picture on the left speaks of a leg that's being corrected by braces. So that speaks to us of correction. And obviously a road sign here on the right speaks of direction. Amen. Why church? Why should we go to church? So you can be corrected and directed. Praise the Lord. You say amen. Yeah, that's correction's a good thing. You'll find out in a little bit as we get into the word. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 5 in your Bibles, and then we'll pray. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's not too far from the four Gospels, if you're still getting familiar with the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us. Amen? We need his help every moment. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. It's quick and powerful. It's timeless. It speaks to us today. Speak to our hearts now, Holy Spirit. Line us out. Correct us, direct us in you. Make crooked places straight so that we may navigate life successfully and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you agree, say amen. Praise the Lord. I want to start off by saying this. I don't think people take church seriously enough anymore. Pretty convinced of that. Not you. I'm talking about people. People in general. Society. It was just a few short years ago, I was in the secular workplace, not doing what I'm doing now, which is full-time in church work. And we had big events occasionally. We would have a big piano sale that ran on the weekend. And Sunday was our big, big day. And, you know, it was almost an attitude of intimidation for me to say to my boss, you know, I'll be here as quick as I can get here, but I'm going to church this morning, you know. Yeah, we got a big sale going on. I know it's a big moneymaker for the company. I know it's an important day for you, but I'll be in worship on Sunday morning. I'll be here as quick as I can. See, our society has gotten to a point where we have discounted church attendance as an ancient relic, right? People have looked at this as just an unnecessary thing. You know, it doesn't take much looking around in society. You can see that's true. You take a drive, not you, because you're in here on Sundays, but let's say you weren't in here on a Sunday and you took a drive around, you know, a big, you know, a town like Alvin or even out further, Friendswood, Clear Lake. You'd see all kinds of activity going on Sundays besides people going to church, because church has been discounted quite a bit. But I'm telling you, church is a powerful, powerful thing. It is the end thing. And as we said last week, when Noah was about to transition from his current world into the next world, he had to climb inside an ark. And it was only via the ark that he was able to make the journey into the next life, which was a cleanly flooded new earth. So it is with us. Church, the local church for you and I, is our transition vehicle from this life, this current, the Bible describes it as this present evil age, into the next age, which is what will be the millennial reign of Christ. Amen? The way that we make that journey from this time into that next time is via the local church. The church is the ark. Outside the ark, there's nothing but storm. Are you with me? quit church for any length of time, you'll find it real fast. Real fast. Well, we talked 1 week recently about taking your place in church. Does that blue thing look familiar to you? It's our beautiful blue chairs. We have a place, amen? Your place may not necessarily be in this pulpit, but your place is here. Your presence is needed by the Lord God Almighty, amen? For various reasons. Your presence, at a bare minimum, encourages the person sitting next to you to be here in presence, amen? And your presence is important. So we said, take your place. Your presence matters. We also said that church is like a banqueting table. I'm not going to leave that on the screen too long or y'all be thinking about lunch. Church is a banqueting table, amen? When you come to church, you get spiritually fed. You get a spiritual feast laid out for you, not just by the preacher. I'm talking about by the Holy Ghost. This is done. God personalizes your meal. Aren't you glad? You know, something vulnerable about receiving other people's cooking is they may or may not know what you like in terms of taste, right? It's a bit vulnerable. When you sit down at somebody's house, you go to someone else's house for a meal, or they bring food to you, you're thinking, I wonder if they got it right. It's too much salt, too little salt. Is it sweet enough? Not sweet. You know, food has a taste. But when you come to church, the Holy Spirit knows how to tantalize your palate. Amen. He will fill your palate with good things. Church is a banqueting table. But church isn't just food. Church is warfare. Church is a launching pad. It's a launching pad where we commit spiritual havoc against the deeds of the enemy. Amen. Church is a launching pad. A corporate strength is here that's not in your home by yourself. It's here with the body to tear down, literally, the kingdom of the enemy. Amen. Church is a launching pad for warfare. Church is a governing body. Whether you know it or not, you're a part of a Congress. It's called God's Congress. God's called out ones. And you're a part of a governing body. Your authority, your spiritual authority that you act out 6 days a week in your home, you bring to the table when you come to church on the seventh day. Excuse me, the first day. This is the first day of the week, technically. Yeah. When you come to church on Sunday, you're bringing the authority you've walked in all week long. That's why it's important for you to walk in victory and authority in your home. Amen? Because you bring that to church. If you walk in defeat 6 days a week, you bring defeat to the church. It will help you get past that, but the goal is to get everybody victorious at home and then bring it to the church. Amen? Because here, we govern together under the authority of Jesus, meaning we like we did a moment ago, we pray for our nation together. We declare things together as a body, amen, under the direction of the Holy Ghost. So church is a governing body. Church is a beautiful basilica. And a basilica it came to be known over time. It became more of a cathedral type image like I have here. But church is like a rotunda. It's a beautiful, a judgment hall, if you will. In the old days, it was more of a government building that was beautified by round, you know, caps and things toward the ceiling. But the idea here was that this is where judgment was made. Higher ideas ruled. And when you come to church, God's high ideas trump your low thinking and my low thinking. Are you with me? That's not an insult to you and to your intelligence. It's just the fact to say our minds need renewing. So when you come into the house of God, you're literally coming into a basilica where higher ideas reign. Amen? Higher ideas take precedence over your small thinking. Aren't you glad? Or you can stay at home and keep your small thinking. No thanks. I want to grow in God, don't you? Amen? So in church, our ideas are expanded. Our thinking becomes enlarged. And we bring our issues to the Lord and He judges them. And finally, church is a taste of heaven. Just as one day Jesus will call out His bride, He will call out the believers from this evil planet, this dark planet. He will call us out to Himself. Church is a calling out. You're in a dark world 6 days a week. When you come in here, you're being called out of that darkness into a place of light. Aren't you glad? It's a little bit of heaven here on earth when you come to church. It should be. Amen. You should be loved by one another. You should feel better when you go home after church. Amen. Church is a taste of heaven. Praise the Lord. We also said that at church, corporate activities take place. Corporate activities. I want to reiterate those again. Declarations. under the Holy Spirit's direction, we make declarations and statements. And how many of you know words, they hang in the air. When you declare words with authority, they go out. Like we said, like missiles being launched. They have impact. Declarations are made. Prayers are made corporately. Financial transactions take place between you and God. Not just you in this church. You and God. When you give in church, God receives it there in heaven. Hey, here's where the bank chute starts. You know, when you go up to the drive-thru at the bank, the credit union, whatever, this is where the chute is. So what happens here with you financially in your heart and in your faith before God, it gets transacted. It goes right up to heaven. Amen. It goes right to the throne. God takes note of your financial giving here in the church and our giving out as a church. Many of you know we tithe out the first 10% of our 10% goes to Israel, because Paul said to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. The Jews brought us our Messiah. So we honor them, even though they're unbelievers, even though they're not walking with Jesus yet. We respect the fact that they were the root of this olive tree that we've been grafted into. And so we honor them as we pay out our tithes to Israel, to various ministries there. We also pay to other ministries that are touching the world, because we want to have a vision that touches the world. So that's another way that your finances, they go out to touch the world. Praise the Lord. We make appointments. We make promotions in church. Appointments are made. People rise to a level of position in the church, and they're acknowledged here. There's promotion that's happening. Amen. Members become servants. This is what we said a couple weeks ago. Members learn how to become servants, and servants eventually grow to become overseers. It's God's order. Amen. Of promotion in the church. Praise the Lord. And finally, well, two last things. Campaigns. Campaigns has to do with us moving together as a body outside our four walls here in community. Whatever the Lord leads us into, in evangelistic outreach, whatever, anything that reaches out beyond these four walls, that's what we call a campaign. Amen. More of those are coming down the pike in 2026 for all of us. And finally, corrections are made. Say corrections. Yeah. Corrections. We haven't covered that very much, but that's today's thought. Correction and direction. Amen. Let me say this. Jesus did some correcting when he was here on earth. I have an image here of Jesus. You know, that image was floating over Manville a couple weeks ago when they had that drone show. This was created by about 10,000 drones in the sky. That's a drone image. That's not a artist image. It's actually a drone image created in the sky over Manville one night. And that's Jesus doing what? Overturning the money changers. He is doing some correction in the house of God. Amen. Sometimes correction doesn't look real good, but love is the root of God's correction. Amen. Love looks like correction sometimes. Amen. Say, I want what's good for me. Do you want what's good for you? Well, in God's house, sometimes that looks like correction. And no correction is pleasant at the time. It says in Hebrews 12. By the way, I'm pretty convinced Paul wrote Hebrews. I read the last chapter in our Hebrews reading the other day, and it ends by saying this: I want you to bear with me, brethren, because I've written to you just a small letter. I thought, then I know it's Paul. I'm pretty convinced the author of Hebrews now is Paul, because only Paul would say something like that. I've written to you a small letter. It's 13 chapters of the densest book you ever read. Paul's the author for sure. Are you in 1 Corinthians 5? All right, we're going to read two verses there. Let's jump right into verse 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians 5, 4. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, what is that? That's church. And my spirit, Paul's saying, I'm not there with you in physical body, but my spirit is there with you with the power. Notice that word there, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has happened when the saints gathered together under the authority of Jesus? There is power. And Paul said there's power when you gather together. Now look at verse 5. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Wow, that's a strong statement. What on earth is he talking about? Well, there was a man in the church committing immorality, gross immorality. Say gross immorality. Yeah, sometimes things get really, really gross, and even in church. And Paul said, we're going to deal with this. And here's how we're going to deal with it. We're going to deliver this man to Satan. That's what he's saying in verse 5. We're going to deliver him over to Satan. So can you imagine on a particular Sunday morning, the church is all gathered there in Corinth? Paul's not there, but he's given them instructions how to do this. So the Corinthian pastor stands up. He says, greetings, brethren. Good morning. Good to see you all here in church today. Demetrius, come on up, Demetrius. I'm just using an imaginary Greek name. We have something we want to do special for you today. Demetrius, we're going to lay hands on you in just a moment. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to turn you over to Satan. That's church correction, isn't it? Now, why did they do that? Did they hate Demetrius for his sin, his gross immorality? No, they didn't hate him. It says here, for the destruction of the flesh, so the soul will be saved, or the spirit will be saved. Paul dealt with an issue that needed to be dealt with. He dealt with it in authority and in power. But he did it for the saving of this man's soul. Amen? Sounds pretty stout, doesn't it? We'll never have to do that here in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody remember what we taught last week? The purpose of church, or what church is all about? Church is all about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge. That was a pleasant topic last week. We're on to correction this week. I hope you'll bear with me. But we said from Genesis 28:17, we said that Jacob's fitting description of church was this. Jacob's fitting description, Genesis 28:17. You have that? There we go. Jacob woke up. He saw this vision, this dream of God's at the top of a staircase going from earth to heaven. And he said, this is the, read it out loud with me. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Wow, I think that's a very fitting description of church. The house of God, the gate of heaven. It's a place of revelation. Jesus walks among us here at church. Amen. God is here. And there's light here. Well, in the midst of light, you're going to have what? You're going to have things that need to be corrected. Amen? And so churches, yes, it's a place of revelation. And in that revelation, in that illumination, if you will, there is correction. So turn to 2 Timothy. This is our key verse for today's message. 2 Timothy 3, and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16. These are some of the last words that Paul ever wrote before he died. These were very important words. All scripture, he says, is God-breathed and is useful for what? For teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. We like to skip over those middle two words. It's good for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. The good stuff, right? But how many of you know that middle part of the sandwich is just as important? Rebuking and correcting. Amen? Say it with me. Rebuking, correcting. And what is this purpose for these? Look at verse 17. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. King James says, so that the man of God may be perfect. How many of you want to be perfect? Okay. Yeah, it's good representation there. All right, then you're going to have to be corrected and rebuked. All you that raised your hands. Everybody else played it safe. They kept their hands down. They knew something was coming. Yeah, if you're going to be perfect in God, say, I want what's good for me. Four of you do. I want what's good for me. Say it. Yeah, well, then you're going to have to be corrected and rebuked now and then. Aren't you glad? But how many of you know that's church? And it's done in love. Amen. The purpose of correction, the purpose of rebuking, any kind of correction that's ever done in the house of God, if it's done properly, the end goal is what? Because we love you. And we want you to walk the right way. It's important to go the right way. Amen. In life. The Message translation says it this way. Listen to this. Ooh, this is not real pleasant, but it's true. It says, the word of God that's God-breathed exposes our rebellion. I think they got that right in that translation. The word of God that's God-breathed exposes our rebellion. You know, you got two major traits, probably a few more extras, but I'm talking about the majors. You got two major traits from your old daddy, not your new daddy, your old daddy, the devil. You want to know what they were? Nobody wants to know. Okay, we'll go on. You got two old traits from the devil, pride and rebellion. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. I'm talking about the old nature. Those were two characteristics we got in spades, amen? When we were born into this world, I'm telling you, pride and rebellion, they just came naturally. You know how I know? You can look at a 2 or 3 year old. You can say, don't stick that toy in that light socket. And they'll look back at you with the most unbelievable level of defiance as they reach for it, right? Why? Because it's inherent in the human fallen nature, pride and rebellion. I want to propose to you today the two top reasons, real root reasons that people avoid church are pride and rebellion. Pride says, I don't need it. Rebellion says, I don't want it. Pride and rebellion. Humans are gutsy. I get it. It says in the book of Revelation, Jesus has eyes of fire. Where you have a church where Jesus is walking during the worship, people know their lives are being revealed before the Father. And I get it. It's not comfortable, is it? But you need to know, the eyes, when we say Jesus has eyes of fire, that's not fire of wrath. That's a passion of love. That's a flame that burns with love for you and I and knows what's good for us and knows what it takes to get it, keep us on the right path so we can enjoy life and have it in fullness and keep us off the wrong path. Amen. Those are eyes of fire. They are a passion of love for us. Speaking of things revealed, in the book of Revelation, the opening chapters, we have 7 churches that were being talked to by the Lord. And Jesus gave them correction and direction. He also gave them commendation. There wasn't a lot of them that got much commendation, but they got a lot of correcting, didn't they? He said things like, you're doing well in this area. Keep it up. He said to one church, he said, bravo to you for enduring Satan's afflictions. I think that's the church at Pergamum. He said to another church, you got problems. You've left your first love. And finally, to a church we don't like to focus on much, Laodicea, he said, your temperature's all wrong. And I'm about to spew. That's what he said. But in the midst of all that, we see in Revelation 3:19. I think we have that for the wall. 3:19, Jesus said this. Those whom I love, read it out loud with me. I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. What did he say? Those I love, I rebuke and discipline. Believers who are never corrected don't grow and don't make progress. And again, this is why some people get out of church. They get offended. Somebody, you know, many times it's just the word from the pulpit. It's not somebody correcting something specific with them, you know, personally. Just sometimes flat out, the Holy Ghost and the word are convicting them. It's correcting them, and they don't like it. It's that pride rising up, the old nature, rebellion. But not us, right? Because we're a people who want what's good for us. Amen. I did some calculations this week with the help of AI. I was curious to know, if I went from here to the moon, and for every foot of travel, for all those miles, if I got off, say, 1/4 inch, just start off on a wrong launch, you know, a wrong trajectory of about 1/4 inch. By the time I get near the moon, how far off would I be? You want to know? All right. Well, the distance from here to the moon is approximately 238,855 miles. If I got off 1/4 inch for every foot of travel for those 238,000 miles, by the time I got to the moon, I would have missed it by over 5,000 miles. That's a big miss, amen? That's double the width of the continental United States. That is a big miss. And how did it start? Just 1/4 inch. You say, well, Pastor, there are 52 Sundays in a year. What's the value of missing one Sunday? I mean, is it really a big deal? I'd say it's greater than 1/4 inch. I found that funny. Y'all didn't, but I think that's pretty funny. I think church is more important than 1/4 inch. So you see, it's not about just missing a day. It's about trajectory. Trajectory. And you know, in the original Apollo missions, the original launching toward the moon, they had to make course corrections all along the way. Why? Because things kept getting off. This is why I said statistics have shown that people who stay in church over their lifetime live longer. Why? What's happening? Course corrections. All through life. You and I will need it all of our life. Amen. If we're humble enough to accept it, we'll need it our entire life. Let me say this. Your absence from church means a certain degree of ministry will be missing. So turn to your neighbor and say, that's why there was a hole in last week's sermon. Right? If you're not here, there's a certain degree of ministry from the pulpit that does not take place. Why? Because many times the Holy Spirit takes a pastor's message, a direction, a certain direction, or a certain tweak based on who he's looking at. Ministers will change their entire message sometimes based on who's here. So if you're not here, guess what? Certain changes may not have been made in that moment that would have not just touched your life, but maybe others. Let me give you an example from Scripture. Acts 14:9. Paul's in Lystra preaching. And the Bible says he saw a man as he's preaching the word of God. And we know Paul wasn't short-winded. Amen? Just try memorizing Romans. I'm working on it. I still haven't got out of chapter 2 yet. But that guy was a lawyer in his brain, man. He when he said something, he explained it from 13 different angles, Bert, till he got the point across. So you know he's been preaching a while. And while he's preaching, the Bible says in Acts 14:9, a man looked at him, and Paul looked, and he said to himself, he said, that man has faith to be healed. So he interrupted his own self and looked at the man and said, stand upright on your feet. The man hadn't walked since birth. The man leaped to his feet and was instantly healed. Well, what if that guy hadn't showed up for church that day? May not have been a miracle healing that day in church. Might have just been a good sermon. A very well-delivered message, but no power. Are you with me? The release of God's power in the house, week to week, may be determined by you being here or not being here. Amen? God knows what you need. And he will release to you through us, those that minister here from the pulpit. He releases the word. He releases the power of the Holy Ghost based on who's here and what needs are here. Amen? So you matter. Praise the Lord. I've been in my house 18 years now. It's the longest I've lived in any house in all of our married life together. It's longer than next year it'll be longer than I lived in the house where I grew up. Actually, technically, it's already longer. Yeah. I was there 16 years. So I've been here 18 years. You know, week after week, I get up on Sunday mornings, I get dressed, I shower and I get dressed, I get in my car and I leave for church. And I look around my neighbors. They're not getting dressed. They're not getting showered. They're not getting in their cars. They're not going to church. And for 18 years now, I've watched that. And I'll tell you what, in my neighborhood, they've watched me. You want to live in a secure neighborhood? Live around retirees. They do a lot of watching. They tell us things we didn't know about our house sometimes. But I've been watching them, and they've been watching me. I'll tell you one observation I've made. For all the years that they have not been getting up in the mornings and going to church, it's amazing to me how much energy they have in the afternoons for football parties, yard work, basic tinkering around the house. This boils down to a lordship issue. We come to church because Jesus is Lord of our life. You know, there's sometimes I get ready for church on a Saturday and the sky is beautiful in the evening. It's dry and I'm thinking, oh, it's going to be a nice, cool night. Be a great night to sit out by the fire pit. But I don't because it's Saturday night. And I'm usually here working on my message for Sunday. So what do? I commit that day to the Lord. I say, Lord, this is a good one. I missed a good one tonight. So I'm giving this to you gladly. You give me another night this week. See, that's the truth of what you do when you come to church on Sunday. You could be on the golf course. You could be at the lake. You could be, you know, riding your motorcycle with your leather jacket and your sunglasses and all that. You could be doing a lot of things on Sunday besides sitting here in dress clothes early in the morning. But you'd be missing the greatest show on earth. Amen. You'd be missing the greatest event that takes place every week on the earth, and it is church. There's a great promise in Psalm 107:16. For all the pride and rebellion that is present in many people, sometimes in believers, causes them to miss God's purpose for their life. He says, he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. I love that promise. Hey, God knows how to cut through gates of brass. What is brass? Brass is showy. It represents pride. Yeah, you can polish brass and make it look real good. What is iron? Iron is resistance. Resistance. He breaks through the gates of brass. He cuts the bars of iron asunder. Amen. He breaks our pride. He breaks our iron will of rebellion against him. Aren't you glad? You know, I'll be honest with you. It's a maturing for believers to come to church. And there comes a break. It's like breaking a horse. Horses have stubborn wills. Right, Judy? They got to be broken. And human hearts are stubborn and they're proud. And they have to be broken by the Holy Spirit. It's a gentle thing. God's not going to crush you if you don't show up for church on Sunday. But he knows what's good for you. Amen? He's got good things here for you. Say good things. And he can cut through gates of brass. And over time, he can cut the bars of iron, the resistance in our hearts to consistently showing up and taking our place in the house of God. Amen? I want to leave you with this final thought or two or three. No, not more than three. One of these days, we're crossing over. And it's going to be too late then to say, oh, I could have been in church all those years. I could have been given my consistent presence with the people of God. I could have been serving God just by showing up for church consistently, or I could have been serving God in my financial support. It's going to be too late. For a lot of people in this world, life is just humming along. Life looks like it's going to go on forever like this, and it's not. We are standing on the edge of eternity. Do you know that? You say, well, Pastor, they've been saying that for decades. I know. And the Bible also says that people would say just what you said just now. They've been saying that for decades. That the people would scoff in the last days. They'd say, ah, where's the promise of his coming? I'm telling you, we're right on the brink. Jesus could come any moment. Yeah, he could come any moment. Matthew 24 talks about the signs of his second coming when he comes physically to earth. It does not talk about the signs of the rapture. The rapture can take place any moment. Before we get done with this service, the rapture could happen, and all the Gentile, primarily Gentile believers that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be gone. And then the clock starts ticking in a really bad way for 7 years of tribulation. We're going to be talking about that in the coming weeks. We're starting a series called The Edge of Eternity. On the edge of eternity. But I'm telling you, we're so close, saints, to stepping over. Now is the time to serve the Lord. Now while you're young. Yeah, some of you think, oh, Pastor, come on, you're flattering me. No, I'm telling you, you're young. This is time right now. You got prime, you got energy, you got vision. Now's the time to serve the Lord with your life. Amen. Now's the time to give it up for Jesus. Glorious things happen in church. In the coming years, we're going to see new millionaires raised up in this church. When you say amen to something like that, you're saying, let it be in me. If you believe it, you would say amen, and it will happen in your life in Jesus. Amen. Millionaires are going to be raised up to help fund the gospel because it's got to be completed. The mission has to be completed. Fivefold ministers are going to be groomed in this church in the coming years. Amen. Isn't that glorious? It's not just about Terry and I. We're getting ready to step over. Well, not anytime real soon, but I'm just saying we're getting ready. And getting ready means we're training the next generation. Amen. And the next gen is going to be raised up. We're going to be raising up other pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, teachers. We're not going anywhere real soon. I'm just saying. Kids are going to become couples, and couples will become families in this church in the coming years. Amen? Deacons, elders, pastors of all kinds will be raised up. Praise and worship musicians and leaders will be developed here on this stage in the coming years. Addicts will be delivered in this house in the coming years. Hallelujah. Missionaries are going to be called to go live somewhere else besides Alvin, Texas. How many of you know there's a big world out there outside Alvin, Texas? Amen? Greater than Alvin, Texas. Global churches will be birthed, and regional churches as well. And you get to, say get to, I get to participate. Church should never be looked at as a have to. Now to your flesh, it's a have to and a half. Amen. Your flesh doesn't want to get up. Left to yourself, your flesh will keep you out of church every week. Come on, let's be honest. I know I've been there. Not for very long. But when our attitude's not right, when our practice is not right, I'm telling you, your life will take a different path. It's not good. God has good things for us. Amen? Let's stand together. Say, I get to. I get to. I get to participate in the greatest adventure on earth, and it's called church life. There's an interesting verse in the Old Testament. I don't fully understand it, but after Saul had been made king, there was a point in time in which Samuel, who anointed him as king, came to him at another point in time, and he said, let's go to such and such place and affirm the kingship. I think that's an interesting phrase, affirm the kingship. As we close out today, I want us to, in our hearts, affirm the kingship of Jesus in our lives. What I mean by that is to say, to teach a message like this that says, church is for correction. There's not a lot of thrill. You know, if I'd have told you last week what I'm preaching today, we'd have less numbers here even than today. Because people don't want to be corrected. The flesh doesn't want to be corrected. Your old stubborn self, I'm talking about the old nature, does not want correction and direction. It wants to go its own way. But today, we're going to affirm the kingship. Who is Lord of your life? Jesus. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes when you feel like you're in Nebuchadnezzar's fire that's hotter, seven times hotter than what you'd prefer, there's a good news. There's a fourth man in the fire with you. And sometimes church life can feel like fire, honestly. And again, this is why people shy away or, you know, drop out for a season, then may come back. But it's just not comfortable because Jesus begins correcting and breaking things in us that need breaking. But if he's Lord of our life, we'll stick around even when the fire is hot. Amen? So let's pray today. Would you lift your hands to heaven and just affirm his lordship if you mean this from your heart? Say, Jesus, I call you my Lord. Yes, you're my Savior. But as Lord of my life, I submit myself to you for correction, for direction. This is your way. For good things to come my way. I receive your correction. Holy Spirit, I will not withdraw. I will submit to your word in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church is for your good. Church is a good place in Jesus. Amen. And I commend you for being here today. I do. And in the days ahead, I'm telling you, it's going to get more and more exciting to be around here. I'm telling you, we're not going to let up. A couple of weeks, we're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. How many of you ever been to an all-night prayer meeting? Oh, a few of you have. Okay. Well, start taking your vitamins now. I'll let you know the date and time. But it'll be an all-nighter. We're going to press into Jesus. Amen. For more. We're just about halfway through the year, and there's more fire to be had in Believers Fellowship. Amen. Well, God bless you as you go today. We love you. We'll see you soon in Jesus' name.